Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Dear Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for just being able to worship you in a free place this morning, just to listen to your word. Lord, I pray that you would just speak through Cal today, Lord. Hide him behind the cross. I pray that you would just be with this message this morning. And I pray that everyone would just feel it and hear it. Let the Holy Spirit be in this place today. Just want to thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated if you can. Thank you, worship team. Before we get started this morning, I wanted to say a word of thanks to all of you for being involved in MoCo Day. It was powerful. I wished I had time to just give God praise for all the teams, but I talked to a lot of the folks that served on different teams yesterday, and man, we did, I mean, Jesus had a big day in Montgomery County yesterday, and I thank God for you. And I'm just praying that we would see the repercussions of being out in the community. I don't know how many we had, but we had 13 teams, and every one of them did what they were supposed to do. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah. We are in a witnessing sermon series. I'm calling it a breakthrough in witnessing. And what a witness we had in the county yesterday. You know, this is the last of the sermons about witnessing this morning. And I want to say this, you know, what people need is life. Amen. Not any kind of life, but real life. A life that can only be found in Jesus. Well, how does someone find that kind of life? How do they come to know that kind of life? How do folks experience the life that God wants them to have? Well, it's real simple, through the witness of God's people. Let me say that again, through the witness of God's people. That's how it happens. That's how it works. And you know, every city in this nation needs some folks who will stand up and declare the good news of Jesus Christ. Every city needs men and women, boys and girls who will witness who Jesus is and what he's doing. Amen. Amen. So, you know, by the way, the word witness in John's gospel, this is where we are this morning. The word witness shows up 33 times. And as we learned in the book of Acts, the word witness means to testify. It's kind of like, you know, channel ABC, NBC, and CBS. Something will happen and you'll have an eye. Witness. That's right. And so a witness is someone who testifies of the things that he has seen and heard of Jesus. Y'all with me so far? Yeah. Well, man, I've got a great witness for you here that comes straight out of the scriptures. Right. His name is John the Baptist. Right. I like that name, don't you? John the Baptist. I'm going to look him up. He's one of the first ones I want to talk to when I get to glory. Billy's done such a great job covering John the Baptist in his Sunday school class, so I just kind of wanted to piggyback on him as our witness, our example of a witness. And Jesus said, of those born of women, there's none greater than John. And so powerful, powerful witness was John the Baptist. Now, but the best thing I can tell you about John the Baptist before we get going this morning is he pointed men and women to Jesus. Amen. And that's what we're supposed to do. Look at the one you're sitting beside and tell them, that's what we're supposed to do. Some of y'all kind of, if you have a Bible, wherever, you know, I don't care what kind of Bible it is, if it's a, you know, electronic Bible or whatever you've got, find John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 6 through 8. And if you'd stand as we honor the reading of God's word one more time, thank you. If you're there, say amen. All right. John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, capital L, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Let me read verse 9 also. That was the true light which gives light to every man, woman, boy, and girl coming into the world. My great buddy and brother in the Lord, Jimmy Kelly, is with us this morning. He's going out to Kenwood to preach today. And they're not only going to get the thunder out there, they're going to get the lightning. And so Jimmy, ask God to bless the message today, would you?
Lord, we thank you this morning for the privilege of being in your house on your day.
Hallelujah.
Looking at your word.
Mm.
Lord, I pray that you would help this brother of mine who I love so much to speak. Would you speak through him this morning?
Mm.
Lord, I pray that every single word that comes out of Cal Hampton's mouth is from you this morning.
Yes,
Lord,
Father.
I'm glad to hear from you.
Yes, Lord.
And he is your servant.
Mm.
He is your mouthpiece. And I pray that you use him in here this morning, Lord. And this message of witnessing, Lord, I pray that it not only hits our head, but, Lord, it hits our hearts and gives us a desire to go out and share the light with a lost and dying world. Bless this service. We love you, Lord. Have your way here and supply every need in this place this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. If you have a sermon outline, I'm just going to follow this thing through this morning. You can follow along with me, make some notes or whatever you need to do. The first thing I want to say about being a witness is prepared. A witness is prepared. Now, verse 6 tells us that John was a witness for Christ, and God prepared him. There was a man sent from God. You see, you can't be sent unless God prepares you. Y'all with me? Whose name was John. So John was called of God to be a witness. Now the word sent is in the verb form of the word apostle. And that tells us that John was sent from God with a message to the people that needed to hear it. Here was a God-called man with a message. And I want to tell you, you've got the same message. And you've got the same calling that John did. You were to be a witness. Now, John was a little bit different, and I think that's partially why the religious crowd didn't like him. He had long hair. He had a weird diet. His clothes were hopelessly and helplessly out of style. All right, y'all with me? I mean, John was a wildcat, and you know what? He really didn't care. Can't you just see him right now along the banks of the Dead Sea in that camel skin sports coat and a handful of locusts and honey, you know, just giving a witness for Jesus. And he wasn't real worried about fitting in and trying to be like everybody else. Now, that's a good word for us. We don't have to try to fit in. We don't have to try to be like everybody else. We don't have to try to make everybody like us. Just be a witness. Just be a witness for him. And so he simply knew that he had a message, and he was sent from God to be a witness. Now, John was not only God called, John was God trained. He was prepared to do what God had called him to do. And Billy did such a great job unpacking John's family for us a few weeks ago in the scriptures in Luke. but John grew up in a godly home. He had a mother and a father that believed in the Lord, and they believed that the Messiah was coming and that God had a special plan for John, and that they began to train him up in the way in which he should go. And can I just say a word to you parents and a smaller word to you grandparents? We are responsible to raise our children up under the teaching and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anything less is a failure. We need to raise them up. The only way our nation's going to get back to being a Christian nation again is by godly parents raising up godly children. Yeah. That's got to happen. Yeah. That's what the Muslims do. They move into a nation or a country or a community, and they start having 9, 10, 12 kids, and before you know it, they've taken over the community. And they believe, well, anyways, that's another sermon for another day. But we need to train our kids up in the way in which they should go. Now, John was raised as a Nazarite from birth. And that may not mean much to you, but he was not allowed to touch a dead body. He wasn't allowed to cut his hair. He wasn't allowed to imbibe in alcoholic beverages. Should I say adult beverages? And his spiritual training took place. He was set apart from the world. And a lot of his training, as Billy mentioned, took place in some of the most dry, barren places on the planet, along the banks of the Dead Sea. He spent many nights, I'm sure, in a dark cave, experienced many hot, dry desert days while training for the ministry. And I just want to stop right here and say this. Some of you today are going through some dry desert type days and experiences. You need some rain. You need some refreshment. You need some restoration. Let me just give you a word of encouragement. It is during those tough times that God does his best preparation for ministry. He's got some kind of great ministry. If you're rolling through some dark days right now, if you're experiencing a tough time in your life, God's going to use that situation for your good and his glory. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
God's not done yet, so you just be patient and hang in. So remember this, God's always preparing his people. Why? For a witness. Y'all, that's not bad preaching. God's preparing his people right now in order to give a witness. Now, secondly, a witness has purpose. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7 again with me. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that witness. That all through him might believe. He was not that witness, was sent to bear witness of that light. John knew that he'd been chosen by God for a purpose, and he knew what he was here for. Can I just ask y'all a question? Do you know why you're here? Do you know what your purpose is in life? Do you know why God has placed you in Clarksville, Tennessee, why God's put you here at Second Mile Church? Do you know why you're here? Do you know what your purpose is? If you don't know it, let me just tell you what it is. It's to glorify God.
Yeah.
And the best way to glorify God is by being a witness for Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
All right. I don't care if this is a Baptist church, you can't clap every now and then. The preacher will do better if you will. Hallelujah. All right, so John the Baptist, now 400 years before John was even born, God moved on the old prophet Malachi. 700 years before John, He moved on the prophet Isaiah, and they predicted that there would be one coming that would prepare the way for the Messiah. And when he showed up, he would get people ready. He would prepare their hearts to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And so John knew he was to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. He would be a witness to the person and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John was humble in his purpose. Now, get this picture. He's preaching down along the banks of the Dead Sea. We've been down there. Those of you that went to the Holy Land with me, we've been there. Man, it's a dry, whoo. And that's where John's pulpit was. And you know what? There were thousands of people coming out to hear him. Thousands. And the folks who believed his message of repentance, I mean, John didn't, I mean, he didn't mince any words, but he was humble. But if you received his message of repentance, the sign that you had believed was baptism. And John was baptizing hundreds of people. Every day, people were coming out to hear him, and God was using him. But listen to what verse 23, John was humble. Listen to verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Some of the priests and the religious leaders ask him, are you the great prophet that the other prophets were talking about? Are you the forerunner? Who are you? Are you Elijah? And he said, no, I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Look at verse 27. He said, it is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He said, I'm just preparing people for the coming of the Lord. There's one coming after me. And I'm not even worthy to untie his shoelaces. Now that's the Cal Hampton Standard Version. He was humble in his purpose, okay? It'd been real easy to start strutting around like a peacock with all the folks that were coming to hear him preach and all the baptisms that had taken place. He said in John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. That is a good word for us, church. My goodness. And so John knew he wasn't the master. He was simply the messenger. He was just the mailman, so to speak. He was just the voice, the voicemail. He was just the mouthpiece, the spokesperson. He was just the messenger boy. And he always remembered that. But just remember, folks, we're just servants of God doing what he's called us to do. And it's not about us. It's about him and them. We're a witness. And that's our purpose. But John was also bold in his purpose. Luke 3, listen to these verses. I mean, this cat, I mean, you know John was bold. We know that. I mean, you know what his messages were? I think he had 3 sermons. Turn or burn, repent or perish, get right or get left. Those were his messages. And I can't wait to talk to John the Baptist. And verse 18, Luke chapter 3 says, and with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, that's King Herod, being rebuked by him, by John, concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this above all that he shut John up in prison. John was bold. He said, King Herod, what you're doing is wrong. It's not right. You need to quit shacking up and sleeping with your brother's wife. Stop it. And for all his trouble, he got thrown in prison, in jail. But you know what? You can witness boldly if your life is clean and you speak the truth in love. Sometimes it's hard to hear truth. But if somebody gives you truth, you can know that they love you, because, or else they just walk away from you. And so I think we Baptists tend to forget. I was so blessed. We were in prayer meeting here on Wednesday night. We do have prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, adults. But Pat Fuller got up and shared about somebody that in her family that she'd been witnessing to. And she said, you know what? I've been praying that God would just make me bold in my prayer time, that I would pray bold prayers. And you know what? She gave testimony that worked for her. Now, those of you that know Pat know she's pretty bold anyways, right? But but a bold witness is what people need to hear in our community. They need to hear the word. We Baptists have forgotten that we've got a mandate from God. We're to be his witnesses. People need to hear the truth. If we don't tell them, who will? If we don't go and witness, if we don't share Jesus with people, who's going to tell them? I don't have time, but I'm going to do it anyways. Lauren, where are you? They were out at Rotary Park, she and Bobby and the kids. And they were handing out tracts and all kinds of candy, all kinds of goodies. And they had a mountain of these, what do you call those little mini Jesus figures? Well, there was a Satan group there yesterday. But y'all know what Ellie did? She grabbed a handful of the mini Jesus thing and gave them to them and said, Jesus loves you. And you know what they said to her? Well, thank you. Bold witnesses is what we need. We need to be about bold witnessing. Now, and the mess that we're in, brothers and sisters, we've been called out and set apart by God to be a witness. Listen to this. I wrote this down. We are Nazarites prepared for a purpose. That's good, y'all. We're Nazarites. We've been set apart by God. We're not trying to be like everybody else. We're not trying to look and talk and act like everybody else. We're just being who God created us to be, and so that we can give a witness for Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we'll never reach our generation and the generation behind us living like the rest of the world lives. And so we need to be living clean and close. And it's time we started loving people enough to just tell them the truth. And by the way, whether they get saved or not, that's not up to us. That's up to Him. All we're supposed to do is just speak. Hallelujah. So, John was to be a witness to a lost world that was going to hell. And times have not changed. 85 to 90% of the people that live in Montgomery County are unchurched. What does that say to you? Do you love them enough to tell them? And so, we've been sent and called by God. He's preparing us for witnessing. That's our purpose. There's one final thing I want to share with you. A witness has power. Say power with me.
Power.
Say power like you mean it.
Power.
We've got power in our witness. Listen to what John 5:35 says. Jesus is talking here about John the Baptist. And He says about John, He was the burning and shining lamp. And you were willing for a time to rejoice in His light. A burning, shining lamp.
Amen.
That is a great description of a witness. Is it not? I mean, we must be willing to burn and shine. Now, I've had some preachers tell me, you know, Pastor, I'm just suffering from burnout. Well, in order to be suffering from burnout, you first got to catch fire. And what we need to do, Second Mile Church, is catch fire. We need to start burning up for Jesus' sake. And hallelujah, if we'll do that, I'm of the opinion that God will supply the fuel as we witness humbly and boldly so that we might shine for Jesus Christ. Woo, I believe He'll do that. He'll supply the fuel if we'll just catch fire. You know, I heard somebody say a long time ago, Jimmy, if the preacher will just catch fire in the pulpit, they'll come for miles around to listen. I don't know if that's true or not, but anyways, we need to catch fire. We need to start burning up for Jesus. And if we'll do that, if we'll have a burning deep down in our bones for people to come to faith in Jesus Christ and begin to open our mouths instead of not saying anything, guess what God will do? He'll supply that fuel that we need, and we'll shine for Jesus. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Y'all remember that old song? Some of you young folks need to get a taste of the old stuff. Amen. Listen. Now, there's power in the preached word. There's power in a pure witness. And that's what happens when we start sharing humbly and boldly. And there's power in the preached word. John was using the preached word. There's power in the word of God. You know that, don't you? Those tracts y'all handed out yesterday, that's a witness. People will read those tracts because they've got the scriptures in them. And you know, as far as we know, John never performed a miracle. He never spoke in tongues. As far as we know, he never healed anybody. But you know what John did? He pointed men and women to Jesus. And that's what we have got to do. And so if people in John's day needed a witness, hello? What do people in our day need? Now, I want to tell you this true story. But it was January of 2001, and there was a New York City firefighter, a fireman, by the name of Timothy Stagpole. And Timothy was called one day to a burning building, and he and the firefighters ran inside this burning building, and Timothy was hit by this huge beam that fell down, and it crushed his body, and before his firefighting buddies could get to him, most of his body was badly burned. And man, he went through surgeries, skin grafts, rehabilitation, but finally, 8 months later, the doctors released him. And he wanted to go back to work, and so his superior officials, the superior officials met with him and they said, "Now listen, Timothy, you've suffered quite a bit, and you can go ahead if you want to and retire, full benefits right now. But if you don't want to retire, we'll give you an office job and make your last years here at the fire department easy on you." And here's what Timothy said. He said, "With all due respect, I have been called to be a firefighter. It's my passion. It's what I do. It's who I am. And I'm ready to go back to work. I'm ready to get with it." And that was in late August of 2001. Well, his very first call was on September the 11th of 2011 or 2001. And Timothy answered the call and went into the World Trade Center, and he was one of the very first ones to give his life. Brothers and sisters, that's the way we need to see our community. We need to quit looking for the easy way out. And we need to start witnessing who Jesus Christ is and what he wants to do. We've got the greatest message that anyone can ever hear. And the question is, am I going to do what God's called me to do? Am I going to live out the purpose that God has me here for? And if I'll do that, and you'll do that, God will supply the power. And as last week we learned, he'll give you the words to say. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn of response, song of invitation right now. And if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to witness to you real quickly as our musicians are coming. If you're not sure where you'd spend eternity if you were to die today, let me just tell you, there is a heaven and there is a hell. Amen. And heaven is a place for prepared people. Amen. And the way you prepare to get to heaven is you got to go through Jesus. And he said, if you're willing to repent, to turn from your sin and turn to me, and by faith, place everything that you are into everything that he is, promise to give him your life, ask him to forgive you and save you, Jesus will do just that right here today. And he'll send his spirit to dwell in your spirit. And then you'll have the power that you need to go tell others about him. So if you need to come and do that, there's an altar here. There's people that are love to pray for you. Our war room is open. There'll be people back here to share with you. If you don't want to come forward, go right back here to our prayer room. We'll share with you back there. But here's the deal. It's your time. It's your time. And maybe you should have come last week and brought your loved one to Jesus right here at this altar and prayed for them. That's the first step in witnessing. And you need to come and pray for that lost family member, that lost friend, that lost coworker, that lost schoolworker. Oh, God, bless this time now of invitation as we stand and sing. Do what only you can do, Lord. We ask it in the name that's above every other name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand and let's sing.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.